This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Colombia, Senator Miguel Uribe Turbe, shot in the head by a teenager during a campaign event. Uribe, 39 years old, a member of the Senate, seen as a strong contender for a presidential candidacy next year. However, the most recent news we have is out of surgery, but very critical. I welcome Mary Anastasia O'Grady, the America's editor of the Wall Street Journal editorial page, because the shooting of Senator Uribe underlines a much larger and more dangerous theme. That is that the gunmen are back in Colombia and preying on a helpless population, and there's not much guidance, if any, from the president of the country, Gustavo Petro. Mary, a very good evening to you. Uribe was shot, and we don't have a motive, but you say that it's not a stretch to look at the terror gangs of the 20th century return to power. Is that correct? Good evening to you, Mary.
Well, good evening, John. I think what I was trying to say there is that the shooter in this case is a 14-year-old, which is, you know, mind-boggling. And I think it's pretty pretty sensible to think that he is not he was not driven to commit this atrocious crime by some kind of passion for politics. I think what's more likely, he was put up to it by somebody else. And, you know, the bad elements in Colombia, which is a cross section between politics and crime, as I mentioned, have a long history of using, recruiting and using child soldiers and children to do just horrendous things. So, you know, the idea that this young boy, whose mother is no longer alive, whose father left the country, who was living with an aunt, obviously in the lower income strata of Colombian socioeconomic circumstances, was probably just a vulnerable recruit by somebody. We don't know who.
Colombia has been in the process of surrendering its opposition to FARC for many years, calling it a peace. You begin your explication most recently with the president, Juan Manuel Santos. Is that understood as a failure in Colombia, or do they still think that making peace with narco-terrorists works?
Well, the people who did it will still defend it, and they'll say, well, you know, it would have worked if you would have given free houses to everybody who was a criminal, and, you know, and free health care and unlimited food and all the things that you promised them to have a good quality of life. And that's why it didn't work. But I think anybody with two brain cells to rub together understands now that basically what you had was this billion-dollar business headed by these FARC, aging FARC leaders. And they wanted an out because, you know, they had to hide. They had to live in the jungle. They had to run from the law enforcement. So Juan Manuel Santos gave them amnesty and lots of other things. They kept their money. They kept their weapons. They didn't go to jail. They didn't have to account for the child soldiers that they had recruited. They liked that deal, so they took it. But the idea that you were going to therefore dismantle this billion-dollar business of narco-trafficking was preposterous. And what ended up happening was other members of the same group, the FARC, took over various parts of the business. Competing rivals like the ELN, which is another political organization, but narco traffickers, and new ones like Clan de Golfo, which is a different organized crime group, rose up and filled up those spaces. So you have just as much crime as you had before, just as much violence and just as much narco trafficking.
You have statistics that show the number of fields under cultivation for cocaine have grown dramatically since 2013. Certainly the central government has these same statistics. Gustavo Petro has them. Does he propose to destroy those fields?
Well, I would make a distinction between coca and cocaine. So what I was reporting there was that there's this huge increase in coca growing. So across the, just fields and fields of coca. And he has actually encouraged that. And he's had the line a little bit that the Bolivian coca leader Evo Morales has had, which is that, you know, you can make soap and chewing gum out of coca. Therefore, it shouldn't be illegal and we should be growing lots of it. And it has boomed. when the UN looks at this problem of drugs and crime in the world, it has actually a section called the Office on Drugs and Crime. And it says that the potential for cocaine production is now way up. Why? Because coca is way up. Gustavo Petro, the president, has encouraged that. And so, you know, when you encourage it, you get more of it.
Illegal mining is also part of FARC. FARC is a transnational corporation with a hand in everything to make money.
Yes. I mean, the small example I put in the column was illegal mining in Ecuador. So FARC is also outside of Colombia, as you point out. It's doing business in illegal mining, and the government in Ecuador has tried to push back against that. And there were 11 military men killed, actually, in the month of May in an effort to dismantle one of FARC's illegal mining operations. Over in Venezuela, there's also a lot of illegal mining that goes on. But there, it tends to be the ELN, which is allied with the Venezuelan military. So there are Colombian guerrillas. That's ELN stands for the National Liberation Army in Spanish. And they're Colombian guerrillas, but they're working hand in hand with the Venezuelan military to capture the proceeds of both drug trafficking and illegal mining.
Petro is a challenging figure because there are reports of his personal conduct that are unacceptable. Is Petro the driver of this, a man who stands apart from the growth of the gangs again? Does he have an opinion that he's succeeded or failed in dealing with the gangs?
Well, for sure he's failed. Again, I would point to what Juan Manuel Santos did as president, because by making this alliance with the leadership of the FARC, he opened the door to all this other criminal activity, which has come surging back. You know, Colombia had actually done a lot to not to stop drug trafficking, but to stop the violence associated with it by reestablishing the authority and the presence of the state across the country. So drug dealers could no longer come into towns and say, we're in charge here. No, the elected governments were running these small towns and departments, as they call them in Colombia. And that has been set back, you know, 50 years. And it was partly, I mean, a big part of it was Juan Manuel Santos. And now Petro, who is a, you know, pretty much unreconstructed left-wing guerrilla, I don't think you would say that his fingerprints are directly on any one particular event. But the policies that he has promoted as president, like, you know, the growth in coca growing and the failure of his military and his national police to actually push down on this growing violence, I think is pretty damning to his legacy. You know, he'll probably deny that he was a part of it, but either through omission or commission, I think we can say without question that has grown during his 4 years and 3.5 years in office.
Mary Anastasia O'Grady for the Wall Street Journal editorial page. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.